Today's show, who can go undefeated in the Power Four? The SEC and Big Ten are plotting. Conference realignment out west, and oh boy, Fat Bear Week took a gruesome turn.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Yeah, well, good luck. It's a bowl of spaghetti.
Ross Dellinger.
Inciting a riot, Pat.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Is there a North Pole University? Can we get them in?
Here's Pat, Ross, and Dan.
Welcome to the pod. Ross is back. Joe back to handling just one job. Hope you get double pay. He'll be back for race.
Thank Ross you, looking over his shoulder, though, now. Needs, a lot of strong reviews on Joe.
Little pressure. Pressure, Ross. Wally.
I'm scared.
Pip. Wally Pip. Maybe you should be.
Oh,
you will be. by my count, we have 14 undefeated Power Four teams left. I was say, let's here being October 1st as we tape this, only 14 remain. Can any of them last? Is my question for you. And so let me run through them. It's a different era of college football. I look at Ohio State. They had nothing going on in the non-conference, but their conference slate is a little bit tougher. Namely, they're going to Oregon next week. Texas is you'd think, hey, maybe they could do undefeated when they were in the Big 12. A lot tougher in the SEC. More heavyweight matchups, less places to hide. Very hard to go undefeated anyway. But can any of these guys do it? And is there a surprise team? So let's just go conference by conference. All right.
Yep. Sure.
ACC, Miami, Duke, and Pitt. None of them have lost. What do you think, Pat? Anyone do it? Thoughts on any of those teams, or just?
Yeah, I don't
how good they're doing.
I don't think so. Now let's delineate. Are we talking about going 12-0 or 13?
12-0.
Okay. Maybe Miami, but I mean, we saw that they are a bit vulnerable. They're not like a totally dominant team. We're down to the last play and needed to come back to beat Virginia Tech. They've got some road games coming up. They're going to Calif with game day. I mean, cross country to Berkeley, that'll be interesting. And then they come back 2 weeks after that. They're at Louisville. I think they lose one. I think they're a good team, but I don't think they are a flawless team, and I think they drop one. So I say nobody from the ACC gets through unscathed.
Have you seen how they're hyping the Cal-Miami game? So Miami, obviously, part of the famous, infamous, however you want to look at it, Catholics versus convicts game against Notre Dame.
Yes.
Cal, of course, Cal Twitter is just hysterical. They are calling it woke versus coke.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Perfect. No notes.
Has Miami been invited to go along with that or not? Or is this just purely?
I'm uncertain.
The Calgarhythm.
It's probably the Calgarhythm. There was a picture, but you know, who knows what's doctored of that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, woke versus coke on the Cal-Miami game. Cal fans, secret MVPs of the season, though.
Yeah, I mean, really?
Yeah. Calgary.
Little, there's plenty of coke in San Francisco, too, by the way. Just saying. It's kind of funny when California is looking down on somebody else or teasing someone else's illegal drug use. But hey, not in Sunnyvale, California, I can tell you that. 701 First Avenue. Right. Yahoo headquarters, or used to be. I don't even know if we're still there. Anyway, woke versus coke. They get through that, though. It's Louisville, Florida State, Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse. So they got that staring at them, and then obviously possibly Clemson at the end. Ross, you think any of those three, any ACC excite you?
No. I mean, like you said, you know, Duke and Miami have to end up playing in the regular season. But I kind of agree with Pat in that Miami has not looked like a team that can win every game, even on a schedule that may not, at the end of the season, include a single top 25 team. I mean, they might not play a top 25 team or a team finished ranked in the top 25, you know, by the end of the regular season. But I still think they stumble at some point. Maybe it's just one stumble, and I think they still have a chance to beat maybe a Clemson in the championship game and get to the playoff. But I'm going to say no, that ACC has no undefeated team in the regular season.
All right, Big Ten, Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Rutgers, five undefeateds. Two of those may not be what you were expecting. Obviously, a lot of them play each other, so they're not going to make it. Pat, who do you like?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm dazzled by what Indiana's done. I respect what Rutgers has done. I like what Penn State has done. I don't think any of those teams are going undefeated. I think the winner of Ohio State, Oregon will have a chance. But even then, I'm not sure. I mean, I would say if anybody, Ohio State has the best chance, but that's saying they're going to go into Eugene and win. I'm going to say no. I think they all come out with a loss. And we're looking at possibly two 11-1 teams playing in the Big Ten championship game. I think the rest of the Big Ten schedule is just going to be bonkers and be really fun and very competitive, and there will be teams knocking each other off.
I think that's possible that nobody in the Big Ten goes undefeated, which is crazy to think. I don't know the last time that happened. I'm sure it's happened, obviously, but you know, in this era where we have these expanded conferences that got a lot more difficult, a lot more teams and a lot more powerhouses now consolidated into one league. And now with this kind of like round robin schedule where you don't have divisions anymore, I think we all have to get used to that there's going to be potentially fewer undefeated teams in general. So that could happen in the Big Ten because they all kind of play each other and you could see them all beating up each other. Not only does Ohio State have to go to Oregon, but Ohio State has to go to Penn State too, obviously undefeated themselves. So I kind of lean toward what Pat's saying. I still think maybe one of the odds are that one of those five finish undefeated, whether it's Penn State, Oregon, or Ohio State. So I'll say that one of them probably does finish undefeated. I'm guessing the best chance of that happening, given the schedule, is actually Oregon. Because they host Ohio State. You know, Ohio State, again, has to go to Penn State. But I'm going to say that, like, one. I just don't know which one, Dan. One of those goes undefeated.
I agree. I think it's the winner of the Ohio State-Oregon game can absolutely go undefeated. Ohio State, I think, is just flat-out good enough. And, yeah, they got to go to Penn State. I've seen this movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We covered that movie last year.
Yeah.
I covered that movie four or five times through the years. Every time they play at Ohio State, Penn State, Ohio State, I go. And to get there, to go to Ohio State, I usually just drive down and back in the same day. It's a long day. It's like 14 hours of like driving and, you know, it's fine, right? We're not entering a coal mine. But I'm always driving back going, I'm not coming to the damn Penn State at Ohio State game again. As I'm on like hour 13 getting to Toledo.
Last year, yes.
Like, what am I doing?
We had a bit of rising disgust last year in the fourth quarter watching Penn State, you know, third and 12, throw a 3-yard pass over and over and over again. Yeah. Like, why are we here?
I'm like, why did I do this again? And then, but again, if they're playing next year, I don't know. I'll totally get roped into it. Be like, you know. Anyway. I think either one, because to me, if Oregon can beat Ohio State next week, and by the way, the 12th is your antiquing weekend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's only one matchup this weekend of ranked on ranked, and it's Missouri A&M. Next weekend, forget it.
Right.
Texas, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Oregon. There's a whole bunch of them. It's a burner next weekend.
Yeah.
Next weekend and November 9th are incredibly loaded weekends. And as loaded as I've ever seen.
Like October 12th, you've got is the Big Ten weekend. You've got Ohio State, Oregon, and you have Penn State at USC. So you got
four
elite Big Ten teams facing off, and both of them are old Big Ten at new Big Ten. It's going to be really fun.
Peacock? No Peacock, I don't please.
Know. I don't want to know.
All right. Anyway, lock in this weekend. Anyway, look, if Oregon gets through that, then it's like a war of attrition for them, because we've talked about this schedule where they have to go back and forth. Like 5 days, 6 days later, they're at Purdue. And I know Purdue's bad, but whatever. Then they're back home. Illinois, we've talked, biggest pain in the neck team to play. Then they're at Michigan. They should be able to beat Michigan, but that's another trip. Then they're back home for Maryland. Then they're at Wisconsin. Like, at what point? But they're certain. And then I just think Ohio State's good enough. So, but the basic point here is these games are hard. These schedules are harder. And there's going to be all these people going, oh, two loss teams in the playoff, three loss. It's like, well, they didn't play like this before.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Like, you used to have one, two games, like Ohio State, Michigan, used to just roll through everybody and then wait till the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well,
that was,
and play each
this
other.
This is going to be the
and
thing.
I was like, that's how we did it. Well, like, that's not how you did it.
Well, and this is going to, Dan, this is going to be the concern, and this is already a concern. And I'm sure we'll get to it later with the Big Ten SEC meeting in Nashville next week. But, like, this is a concern with Big Ten SEC folks who believe that their teams are, because of the schedule they play and the consolidated brands in their leagues, are going to have two or three losses. And will those teams be left out for a one loss team in a maybe a quote weaker conference in the Big 12 ACC for these at large?
Why they're going to rig it all in their favor, baby. Can't wait. Yeah, we'll just, we'll
all right, hold your fire. We're getting to it.
Yeah, I know.
We're talking football here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's football. I don't know. Yeah, we good. BYU, Iowa State, anyone going undefeated?
No.
This league. This is.
I mean, like, I am excited to watch the Big 12 hash itself out, but neither of those teams are going undefeated. Kudos to BYU, did not see that coming at all. Iowa State is what Iowa State has been when they've been good under Matt Campbell, you know, just kind of resolute, consistent, good on defense, good enough on offense. They got the big win at Iowa it's week two, but that's not a team that's gonna go 12-0, and neither's BYU. So that one, the big question is, how much other attrition is there to the point where the Big 12 championship game is absolutely winner take all? Just one team from that league is still even gonna make the playoff or even be considered.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance, given what's happened already this season, that both the Big 12 and the ACC championship games will be winner take all. But look at the schedule. I think that's more realistic in the Big 12 than anywhere else. They're just going to beat each other up. And we kind of saw this coming. The parity in that conference, they're just going to beat each other up. And I you don't see one program standing out. And the programs that are left, the two that are left undefeated are probably the two that nobody would have picked, right? You would have picked Oklahoma State or even like an Arizona or Kansas State. But you're left with BYU and Iowa State, and you look at their schedules, and with this league and everybody's so even, I just don't think either one will go undefeated. In fact, I kind of think the Big 12 champion might have two losses.
Oh yeah. Maybe even three.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. We had somebody say your Big 12 analysis was all over the place. You're praising these teams and contradict. I'm like, yeah, good luck. It's a bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah.
I love what BYU has done. They play like Kalani Sitake's teams. Yeah. Like, they're tough. They've got a personality. They got a grit to them. But do I think that can last? I mean, this is what it is. And I like that this league, which rarely got teams in, certainly that weren't Oklahoma, can have a really fun deal with this and do it, you know?
I'm glad that no matter what, the Big 12 champion is going to the playoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just do your thing. Sure. Just do your thing and someone's getting in. Mm-hmm. It's all right. Because no one's probably, you would have had to go undefeated, and then, and that was pretty much it. I mean, sometimes TCU lost that title game and still got in.
Yeah. It would be pretty funny if a 10-3 Big 12 champion is, you know, gets the first round bye. It's like the third or fourth seed. Yeah. Yeah. That again, another issue that's already cropping up from people is that, and that could very well happen because the top four seeds only go to conference champions.
All right, SEC. We got four: Texas, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri Tigers. A lot of playing each other in here. Can any of them go unbeaten? Very hard to go unbeaten in the SEC. Harder now than ever.
Yeah, I think no. You know, I think out of all the leagues we've talked about, the best chance is the Big Ten champion being undefeated. I think the competition is too difficult, and the fact that they do have games set against each other, a lot of these teams. So that's the – so I talked about the bonkers Big 12 weekend, October 12th. October 19th, Alabama at Tennessee, Georgia at Texas. Four of the top five teams in the rankings right now. How good is that going to be? And so there's going to be more mayhem, more bloodshed, more losses, and I think that you end up with maybe a couple of 11-1 teams going to Atlanta for the SEC championship, and there may be more than two 11-1 teams, and then, oh boy, let's see how the rankings hash that out, and let's hear the screaming and crying over the 11-1 that doesn't get to go to Atlanta. I can't wait.
Well, it's really crazy. Is the best odds of all those teams, like if odds makers were to put it down just based on their schedule, is probably Missouri. I talked about it before the season, I think. You know, their schedule is probably the most doable as far as going undefeated of anybody. They have obviously one big and very difficult game at Alabama. Other than that, though, they don't play any of those other undefeated programs right now, any of those teams at the top of the league. Meanwhile, obviously, you know, Alabama plays, as Pat said, plays against Tennessee.
They're at Tennessee.
Yeah, at Tennessee.
Missouri, at LSU, at Oklahoma.
Yeah, so that's a tough slate there. But I am going to go, yes. After saying all that, I think one of these teams does go undefeated. And my bet is not Missouri. My bet actually is Texas. I think that Texas goes undefeated. They do play Oklahoma and Dallas. They do get Georgia, but that's at home. And they finish the year at Texas A&M, which actually is shaping up to be maybe a really crazy renewal of that rivalry with really big stakes on the line. So that should be interesting. But yeah, I'm going to actually say that the Longhorns of those programs go undefeated. So the SEC has an undefeated team going into the championship game.
I agree with Ross. I think that's what I would go with. Missouri's the sleeper to do it because they just got to, you know, if they're good enough, they can beat at Alabama, they can beat Oklahoma mm-hmm. at home, and they can win at A&M. Tennessee has two big ones, Bama home at Georgia. Right. Maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything out of Texas that doesn't suggest they can do it. I don't know how good Oklahoma is or nothing. I mean,
Oklahoma, fortunate to win against a bad Auburn team, you know?
Yeah. That's why Texas is can do it.
Yeah, Texas has got to hold serve at home against Georgia, which I think will be difficult. I would expect that you're not going to get a dysfunctional Georgia half like they had against Alabama again, but I could be wrong.
Do not sleep on Missouri's big trip to the junkyard in Amherst, Massachusetts. Remember, they have to play at McGuirk Alumni Stadium, deemed the junkyard the worst facility in the country. That's FBS, not the one in Houston that has the CVS on one sideline. Where you can fill your prescription and watch the game you can fill your prescription in the driver's side, look out the window of the passenger side, watch, I think it's Houston Baptist. Is
Houston
that right?
Christian now. It used to be Houston Baptist.
No. Houston Christian. No. I'm sorry. Don't want to set a holy war off down there.
Don't do that.
There is talk about buying the CVS.
Yeah, right. They, Which I think is just a very bad idea. You're losing your calling card.
I agree. Plus, this CVS, a lot of foot traffic on a Saturday. Yeah. A lot of people coming by. Maybe you lure them over. Maybe
they're just going to buy the CVS and then just leave it as a CVS. Well,
that would be good.
And you know, we own the CVS now.
I would love to put a little section of bleachers on top of the CVS. You know?
The CVS seats.
Yeah. There you go.
CVS skybox.
You run down. I mean, they sell beer in there, snacks.
You know, exactly. This could be win-win for CVS and for Houston.
Greeting cards. Greeting cards.
Yeah, you could take care of your Columbus Day greeting card shopping while you're watching Houston Christian. Thanksgiving.
Tell your wife you run out to CVS to do some of the errands.
Yeah, and you end up watching some football.
Catch a quarter. Yeah. Incorporate the CVS somehow. If you're gonna buy it. Plus, there's a lot of people in the area that need their CVS. Yeah. I mean, look, we are college football fans, but CVS is there 365. Yep.
True.
It's not as bad as when Ruiz, the billionaire in Miami, wanted to buy the Coral Gables High School.
Right. Just shut down a public high school to build a stadium. How's John Ruiz doing, by the way? I haven't heard a lot from him.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think
let's not talk about
who could have seen that coming? I don't know. Shocking.
I don't know, but I think Coral Gables High is safe for the time being. We were using that.
It's really unbelievable, really, when you think about it.
The greatest stadium proposal in the history of stadium proposals. And I covered the NFL relocating to LA, where there was literally graphic designers they have beach houses in Malibu drawing these fantastic stadiums all over LA where they were supposedly going to get put until finally Kroenke did it. But that was the greatest stadium. We're going to take your high school. You don't need that, do you? I was using that. Woke versus Coke, baby. Woke versus Coke. All right, we'll be back right after this. All right, SEC and Big Ten, the Alliance Part 2. 2.0 Alliance, two-team Alliance, two-league Alliance.
Don't call it an Alliance, Dan. Week. Oh, no.
Oh, it's an Alliance. It's an Alliance. The Big Ten. That other alliance, that was a fake alliance. This is the real alliance. Because
I prefer Axis.
They knew they could muscle the ACC and Pac-12.
Yeah. I prefer Axis and every negative connotation that comes with it.
Axis of evil. Yeah. All right. Well, they're getting together to meet, talk about scheduling proposal, maybe. I wish Big Ten had just done that with the Pac-12 and ACC. We'd have all these leagues still. But we're having a scheduling possibly. And then the big one is the playoff. Proposal. They're talking about getting as many as 4 automatic bids to each the SEC and Big Ten, which I find to be a unnecessary move. If you could, they're going to get 4 in some years anyway. Just freaking earn it. But of course, that's not how these people think. Ross, what's the latest on this meeting? The meeting of the Axis of Evil.
Wrote about this last Thursday. It's 3 main things that they're going to be discussing. The House, obviously the House case, which, you know, everybody's probably exhausted of hearing about. So we won't spend too much time on that one. The scheduling, regular season and even postseason scheduling format, as you mentioned there, or arrangement or partnership, whatever you want to call it. And then, of course, the college football playoff format and how that will look in the future. So we kind of thought that this meeting may eventually happen after they announced in February they were forming this joint advisory board, the two conferences, and clearly they were coming together more so. And so eventually there was a thinking that this would come up and they would start meeting. And here we are. So I know everybody is fearful that the meeting will end in the two leagues breaking off and declaring their independence. That seems to be the fear. I don't expect that to happen after the meeting. I do expect them to come to more agreements on playing more regularly, specifically in the regular season, playing in non-CFP bowls or other postseason, maybe, games with one another, and zeroing in more so on the CFP format, with, of course, regards to the proposal that we discussed back in March, I believe, that was proposed in CFP meetings, which was multiple automatic qualifiers for each of the leagues. You guys remember the 3-3-2-2-1 model, three automatic qualifiers for each, the Big Ten and SEC, and two AQs for the ACC and Big 12 each, and then one for the group of five. So I'd expect that that model, along with a 4-4-2-2-1 model, to be discussed. And I think what they talk about there will then be brought to the College Football Playoff Committee room. And keep in mind, although the CFP room includes 11 people, one representative, one commissioner from each conference, and Notre Dame's athletic director, under the new agreement, the SEC, Big Ten, and ESPN control the future format. They have authority over the future format. From what I understand, there's no voting. There's no everybody gets a vote sort of thing. They have control over it, just like they had control over the revenue distribution. And people are probably wondering, why were they given all this control? Because they were threatening to leave and split off and do their own thing.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. It's just a wonder, you know, I feel really good hearing all of that. I
do. Times you just hate this.
Bro. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're all in it together. Yeah.
But Matthew Sluka didn't get his money. Call Congress.
In February, this was some of the rhetoric that went along with the announcement of this advisory group. When back then, when alarm bells were going off, because you know when you're getting conned, okay? But no, look, listen, this is not what you think this is. This is really what we're doing. These challenges, the challenging landscape of college sports, these challenges, including but not limited to recent court decisions, pending litigation, a patchwork of state laws, and complex governance proposals, compel the two conferences to take a leadership role in developing solutions for a sustainable future of college sports. Here's what they see as the future of a sustainable college sports is them getting more and more and more of the power and more of the money and screw everybody else. That's what this was all about from the beginning. You cannot convince me otherwise. You can throw all your high-minded rhetoric out there, and they will certainly take some time to talk about the House settlement and maybe a few other issues, I'm sure, there too. But this is all about squeezing out everyone else as much as they can. Marginalizing the ACC, marginalizing the Big 12, marginalizing the group of five, and taking more of everything that they can get. Obviously, look, the fact that they came to this agreement, as Ross delineated, is a response to a threat and a power move of like, wait, we're just leaving unless you give us control over the format. So what sane sports structure would you give two conferences all of the power to decide the playoff? But that's what they did, and that's where we are. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to arrange it more to their liking, which comes down to number of automatic bids. Secondly, who decides? We can't trust the playoff committee anymore. We have to go to a stronger strength of schedule metric. And guess who that's going to favor? And guess why they're going to schedule each other more? To buttress their own strength of schedule. So they're 8-4. Is better than the 9-3 or 10-2 in the Big 12 and in the ACC. This is all just, we're going to arrange everything. We can't earn it on our own. Our teams aren't good enough on our own. Actually, yes, they are. They totally are. We're seeing it. But this presumption basically of, well, we're going to rig the game in our favor, even though they don't need to rig it. It is disgusting.
Hell yeah, wow. Pat 40. Hell
there
yeah.
There you go. Blowtorch out.
Where's Charlie Baker on this?
Yeah. Anybody?
He's quick to take a position on the UNLV case that hasn't even been investigated. He's quick to say UNLV did it without naming UNLV. is quick to declare we need Congress. The biggest con they're running, everyone is running, is getting all the fans fired up about chaos that some quarterback will quit. Look over there. Oh, my God. It's chaos. It's terrible. The wild, wild west. We have no control. Our poor coaches. They're tampering after the game. The handshake. Dude, if your player is so easy to get out of your program that a 4-second conversation after a game is it, it ain't on them. Look over there. We need congressional action. We need rules. We need this. Meanwhile, let's nuke all the conferences, rig the postseason, control all the money. Where's Joe Manchin and Ted Cruz and Cory Booker on this? No calls for that. This is what's going to most adversely, already has most adversely affected college football. And what will continue to most adversely college football, not the crap they're actually complaining about and declaring they need the federal government to solve. They don't need more money. They need to spend their money more wisely. If we ain't got any more rules, you can shut down your compliance department. Like they had so many rules, they had to come up with 15. They had to hire 15 people to navigate the rules. There's so many things that are just this. You're going to get four teams in anyway. Just play it out, man. Yeah.
You don't have to rig the rules in your favor. It's amazing.
You don't need a 14-team playoff. You need a 12 will be fine. Let's see how it works. All of your doomsaying, your cries, you're always wrong. They're always wrong, right? Oh, my God, NIL, a couple teams will have all the power. No one will be able to compete. We just went through it. We don't know if anyone can go undefeated anymore in this thing. Nobody thinks there is. Am I right? There's less parity now than 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, what
anyone believe that?
We've talked about it before, right? NIL, maybe it grew the gap between like the P4 and the G5, but it definitely evened things. The top 20 or 30 schools. You have more schools, I think, that can win a national championship now than you did just 5 years ago.
Absolutely.
Missouri wouldn't be in the mix right now otherwise.
Right. Absolutely. Tennessee? That's a great example.
Yeah.
Missouri, Tennessee, all of a sudden, boom, here we go. Back on Rocky Top, go Big Orange, and it's great. Good for them. Good for them. Because not every kid is going to the same three schools. They're wrong about all of their doomsaying, but they sit there every time. Trust us, we got to do this.
Yeah.
You're always wrong. I don't know whether it's made up or they're just wrong because they can't see the future. But we said all the time, NIL's not going to hurt anything. We had Michigan just win. Michigan couldn't win a national title 6 years ago. No chance. They just won it. Went 15-0 because they were able to keep all their guys in school. All this stuff that they cry about, wrong. And then this stuff, they're just going to be like, yeah, we're just going to do this. And no one's paying attention because it's like a meeting in Nashville.
Just a benign little meeting.
Just keep it at 12. Just, is that where they're meeting?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Keep it at 12. Earn your spots. You're going to earn them. What are you scared of? The problem, even in the Big Ten and the SEC, your problem is so many of your schools no longer really can compete. You have to climb over too many programs. Where in the past, you could sit there and harbor that dream and say, hey, man, maybe. Maybe we could be Michigan State.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get to Atlanta. Now you go, gosh, look at all these programs ahead of me. That's where those guys are getting, but we'll give them more money. Hey, your athletic department, all your athletic department personnel are making more money. You got more people on your support staff than ever. It's going to happen, but it shouldn't. This is what a Congress should be sitting there saying. You represent Minnesota. You say, is this good for the University of Minnesota?
Yeah. Well, how about our...
Let alone in Texas, you say, is this good for Baylor and TCU and all these other schools? Like, I represent... Like, how many Division I programs are in the state of Texas?
A bunch.
Right, like 15?
I was about to say at least 10 or 12, yeah.
Right. Well, that's good for Texas and maybe Texas A&M, but what about all the others? That's where you want it. If we're sitting there saying this is an existential threat to college football, this is it. It isn't Matthew Sluka, using Matthew Sluka as some, oh my word, the sky is falling.
Senator Manchin, West Virginia. Does this help West Virginia? Hell no. Where are you? Weigh in, please.
Cooks West Virginia. Yeah. If I'm a politician, I'm looking at this stuff going, wait a minute, that ain't good for us. And now, but they're going to do, I'm going to do your bidding on this other thing. There's a lot of schools going to get cooked on this. And this is not good. I'm glad ESPN's got control over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's great. Nothing bad can happen. Yeah. Can I just also talk, the ESPN story, which was, you know, like several days later than Ross's, but did not acknowledge Ross's story, but that's neither here nor there. But
thanks, Pat.
No,
shocking. It never happened
they're
before.
Good at crediting other reports. Yeah, they're good at crediting other reports.
The anonymous quotes from an SEC source. I've listened to a certain SEC leader talk long enough over the last decade. I'm not sure I could quite mimic the voice, but this sure sounds like something he would say. I'm for anything that gives us the maximum number of postseason opportunities. I don't count bowl games as postseason opportunities. That's his speaking style. Tony Petitti's idea of multiple automatic spots for a conference has a lot of value. I'm not sure 4 is the right number. I'm going to take a wild guess who the source is, but I think he's a fairly important. They at least got a good source on this. Good one.
Conference realignment. Mountain West making moves. Some of them totally crazy, but making moves. Texas State has a bid. Not sure they're going to take it, presumably. Are they waiting out for the Pac-12?
I'd be surprised if they take it.
They got a bid. Yeah. Got an offer. Yeah, Hoco. They got a Hoco invite.
I think the fact that the Mountain West, and by the time this comes out, this is in my mind, but maybe all resolved, but the Mountain West has kind of moved on to UTEP. Tells you that they don't expect Texas State to.
But they need two. They need two.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They need two. Yep. So Texas State has got an invite to the Mountain West. Pac-12 is still sitting there at 7. They need to add somebody. UTEP is either got a bid or whatever. I don't think they're hesitant.
They'll be getting a bid, I'm sure. If they don't already have an invite, they'll get it. Yeah.
Then there was the late Friday reveal that there are possible bids, or they're exploring adding Toledo and Northern Illinois as football-only members.
Yeah.
Please don't mess with the Mac. Yeah. It's nothing sacred. It's nothing sacred. Anyway, that would require Northern Illinois and Toledo to join the Mountain West, which you got to remember in its new form isn't even what it is now. Which, you know, I mean, you're losing Boise and Fresno and, I mean, a lot of schools. And the closest school to Toledo, other than Northern Illinois, would be Wyoming. And
not very close, Dave Briggs.
Not that close, but even better, Dave Briggs of the Toledo Blade noted, actually closer, Toledo is actually closer. Hawaii would be a team they would play. So that's very far away. They're actually closer to Africa. Toledo is closer to Africa, I guess.
That's amazing. Than,
I don't know. I mean, this could get some media markets out of that. I mean, anything's possible, man. Remember we joked like the University of Greenland
something? I was thinking they're probably closer to like Greenland or like certainly parts of Nova Scotia and Canada, right? Well, closer than even the upper northern parts of Canada than they are like Fresno.
Is there a North Pole University? Can we get them in?
Santa Claus. Yeah,
right.
Santa
right.
Claus. Yeah. Yeah. He's got a good runway. His runway only handles the sled, so you can't really, you got to bust it in. Anyway. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And then that would require these ones to like join the horizon. Like their other sports are, I mean, Northern Illinois has always been a little geographic outlier. I don't know. How does this add value? Like Toledo isn't actually is a city. It's like the 80th biggest media market. I mean, number 80. it's full of Cleveland Brown and Ohio State Buckeye and Michigan Wolverine fans. Like, Toledo's got nice little fan base and all that, but you're not, the people of Toledo are not huddling around planning our weekend for the playing the Wyoming game at 10 o'clock. Make sure you're watching CBS Sportsnet. No,
if they did that, the Glass Bowl attendance would be a lot better than it is.
Yeah. They have good fans, but they also have good fans because they're playing the teams that are their rivals.
Yeah.
And some of the fans are from the other school.
Yeah. Imagine that, man.
Toledo sits dead in the middle.
Geographic and cultural connections.
Yeah. Amazing. Hey, I went to Ohio U. I happen to work in Toledo. Right. Oh, I went to Central Michigan. I happen to work in Toledo. Mm-hmm. I'll go to the game. Yeah, no, we don't want any of that. Like the Mac, like Charlie Baker. He's all over Matt Sluka.
Matt Sluka's
all over UNLV for this alleged offer, weighing in on a potential NCAA case, making a ruling before anything's been investigated. But he's dead silent on this. I mean, this is stupid.
Well, and Dan, you know this, and you should speak to it here. Is you've gotten? Let me just say, I will be a little surprised if this ends up happening. But if both you and I and Toledo football. Right, for the Mac. I don't ever think that was a top line thing for the Mac. I think that was a possibility for the Mac. And so the commissioner of, a possibility for the Mountain West, and the commissioner of the Mountain West, you know, alerted the Mac commissioner, as you're supposed to do in these situations.
Polite.
Isn't often polite. Done, no, but she did do it. Gloria Navarez called John Steinbrecher, I think, and just alerted, hey, we may discuss this possibility with a couple of your programs. If you get the two as football only members, of course, you still have to add two full members, right? And then you're cutting the pie into the distribution into smaller slices and is it really that worth it? And I think talking to folks in the Mountain West and Dan talking to folks right in Toledo and at Northern Illinois, that this is probably not worth it for anybody.
Industry sources. I don't talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
So Ross, game this out for me. We figure UTEP is going to the Mountain West, right? We think that's probably likely to happen. So that gets them to 7 full-time members. They need one more. The Pac-12 needs one more. Who are they?
Yeah, that's right. I think Texas State, as we talked about, is certainly a school on probably a possibility. Then you have to look toward FCS ranks, right? And you look at, I've mentioned it in a few of my stories, the Dakotas, the North Dakota State, the South Dakota State, Tarleton State, and Texas has had conversations with at least the Mountain West.
Sacramento
State is going all out with this public campaign to get into the Pac-12. They're building a new stadium. They allegedly raised $35 million in NIL or pledged $35 million in NIL, which is pretty wild. I can't figure out why these FCS programs want to make the leap in scratch and claw. In a division where you know you can't win a football championship, or the odds are incredibly long. But look, somebody's going to have to dip into FCS. I would doubt it would be the Pac-12, but somebody's going to have to, because they're running out of options. and of course, the sensible option would be to, I don't know, merge. But that doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Credit to Gloria Navarez for being upfront with the Mac.
Yeah.
She's learned her ethics as a tremendous basketball player at the University of Massachusetts. So that's where some of us have business ethics. Others of us are meeting in Nashville.
There you go.
Plot the demise of the entire sport. To me, the Pac-12, you take Texas State and call it a day, or you take UTEP and call it a day. If you want to go to 9, take them both. I know people like UTEP sucks, Texas State, but at least you're in like cities with real fan bases and some facilities. Like UTEP gets 40,000 people to football games. They win 3 games a year. Like it's a 2 million person media market. Like there's some of them are in Juarez, Mexico, but they're still fans of the sport and all that. So there's real, like when you're trying to elevate an FCS, I mean, I don't know. It just, there's a lot of work to do there.
And it's way more expensive than ever. It's $5 million now to move up.
Yeah. $5 million now. Right. And go ahead, Pat.
Just the infrastructure. Yeah, you just don't have it.
Well, and the reason it's $5 million is because they don't want you at the FBS level anymore. And if you want to further give incentive to the power conferences to kick everyone else to the curb, just go ahead and keep adding Flotsam and Jetsam to the end of the FBS. And that's like, oh, you know what? We're done with you guys. You guys go have your own little cute little NIT championship.
Well,
first Flotsam and Jetsam reference not made by Pete Dammel.
That's true.
That was his line.
Pete liked his Flotsam and Jetsam.
There's been two, I'm glad Pat noted that, because there's been two changes over the last year that you could probably describe as financial disincentivizing of FCS to FBS, which is the $5 million change, as Pat mentioned, but also the CFP distribution change, which gives a certain amount of money to all the Group of Five's programs and no more money. Any new teams, no more money. So the Group of Five, or Group of Six now, with the Pac-12 maybe, would have to distribute, everybody have to take a cut in order to distribute to a new school that goes up from FCS to FBS. Here's the thing. Some of these schools, like Tarleton State, like maybe Sacramento State, they probably just don't need the money. They're probably like, whatever, you know, we'll pay the $5 million and we don't need any kind of signing bonus and we don't need CFP money. We'll just come. And I think that probably is what ends up happening. But and one school I did leave off as an option out there, at least for the Mountain West, right, is New Mexico State. That's in Conference USA. A lot of people would say it makes sense to take New Mexico State in UTEP, right, somewhat near each other. New Mexico's already in Mountain West. But there does seem to be resistance to New Mexico State for maybe a great many reasons, but there does seem to be a disinterest there from the Mountain West.
I would just go with these schools that have had some fans. They had like that. They matter in their community. I would just go with those routes. New Mexico State has been good in the past. It's got they'd be a good choice. I don't know. We'll see. The Pac-12. Their seven teams are strong.
Yeah.
Like it's a nice league. Don't worry about who number eight is in terms of winning. You've got the better league. You've got the best league in the West. The Pac-12 is a good league. It's going to be a fun league. Don't worry about whether it's like this team hasn't won enough or this team isn't winning this season or that. I would just do it.
Well,
anyway.
And one last thing about this, Dan, is I think with the Pac-12, is going to do, I think, is they're going to probably try to get this thing done with Gonzaga before they move on and continue down this road. And this has been something obviously written about now for 3 weeks that they were always targeting Gonzaga as being a new member in this new conference. And I would imagine that the deal eventually gets done probably. But we've seen this before with Gonzaga, right, with the Big 12, and that didn't happen in many other leagues probably in years past. So I think that there's probably a little bit of a slowdown from the Pac-12, maybe lock up Gonzaga, and then maybe you can have better number. You have eight members, you have seven football members, so you just obviously need one more. And maybe you can get better media numbers to go out and then sell to some other football programs.
I mean, I know basketball does not move the needle much here, but you talk about a basketball league with Gonzaga, San Diego State, Boise State, who's been good, Colorado State, who's been good. That's a good basketball league. I mean, and Gonzaga, people watch Gonzaga, you know, maybe not tens of millions, but people know the Gonzaga brand and would be interested to see what they do, I think, in the new league.
Well, and if you
Gonzaga basketball, Boise State football to me are the brands in the West that are just like, oh, it's on. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I'll watch this. This is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And if they get Gonzaga, You know, and I reported this last week. I don't know if we talked about it on the pod, but, you know, they at least had conversations with UConn. I know how crazy that is from coast to coast, but can you get enough good basketball programs in your league, Gonzaga being obviously one of them, San Diego State, the others that Pat had mentioned too, and convince like a UConn, or go back and give another call to Memphis or something like that and convince them, see, we've got all these big basketball brands. We just need you.
Yeah.
There it is. Possibilities. We'll see.
If UConn goes to the Pac-12, the entire UConn fan base should just mobilize on stores and burn the campus down.
Inciting a riot, Pat.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Let's hurt our basketball program for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our football team can play.
Can play in Oregon Utah. State. Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Fat Bear Week next. All right. It's Fat Bear Week. We've been all over this for years. We love Fat Bear Week. Who doesn't? Well, I can tell you who doesn't, actually. this got a little gruesome this year. Fat Bear Week
took a turn.
Postponed.
Took a turn.
Yeah, it took a turn. Oh, we're not able to make our picks today, although I'm taking 747, who was cheated last year.
Please.
Cheated.
Not cheated.
Out of the title when the Katmai National Park and Preserve. If you don't know what Fat Bear Week is, Katmai National Park and Preserve, they take pictures of their bears who are now, but they've been beefing up on salmon and all that all summer and whatever the berries and humans and whatever they eat. And then we choose who is the fattest bear this year. And last year they took this very, normally you'd say that's not a flattering picture. Like someone's the chunks, I think it was Chunk won it. The Chunk win. Chunk won, I think. And they had the picture made Chunk look much bigger than Chunk really was. They should have, I understand it's not easy to get a picture of these things. You can't really just send out, they don't pose for the pictures, right? It's not the prom. But you gotta, the picture angle was unfair. Chunk defeated 747.
It's the worst argument I've ever heard, frankly.
It's unfair pictures, unflattering. They made 747 look svelte. It wasn't fair. Anyway, we're coming back. Unfortunately, Katmai National Park and Preserve did not put out the brackets this morning like they normally do. Yesterday. They are holding it, and here is why. Okay? A fight between two brown bears at Katmai National Park and Preserve left one dead Monday, producing a gruesome scene on a popular live stream and postponing Fat Bear Week. Officials at the park in Alaska confirmed an adult male bear identified as 469, a.k.a. Patches, killed an adult female, 402. Wow. 402 has been a repeat contestant in Fat Bear Week. We lost one.
That's a give hole
this,
in the
give
bracket.
Me this patch. Dan, give me this Patches.
Yeah, right.
Patches. I mean, damn.
Patches, can you take the murderer?
I mean,
Patches is
I don't
going
see
to prison. What is?
I mean,
Patches and Diddy locked up together. What?
Yes, that's right. Put Diddy in the cage with Patches and see what happens.
My God. Pour
one out for 402.
Yeah. Rough.
Following the bear's death, competition organizers postponed a live chat event to reveal the tournament bracket originally scheduled for Monday. I mean, I kind of appreciate the honor we're giving 402, but at the same time,
here, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, we're going to take a day. Is it any different?
I mean, stuff happens in nature, you know? I mean, I'm glad I didn't watch it happen, but still, stuff happens.
Well, would I be a bad person if I say I tried to find the video?
Oh, my God. You're terrible.
I didn't say you're dead. I said,
yes.
Would I be?
Yes.
Would
yes,
I?
Yes, you would.
Katmai Ranger Sarah Bruce told the Washington Post they're not sure why they fought to the death. Skirmishes between bears are usually brief and end with the opponents going their separate ways. This confrontation lasted roughly 20 minutes.
Ugh. Brutal.
You want to watch one bear kill another for 20 Yikes. Minutes? It's on video somewhere.
Wow.
If you don't. Mm-mm. It'd be better than Saint Bill Snyder, I can tell you that.
Yeah, we're
Mike Fitz, a naturalist for explore.org. We love to celebrate the success of bears with full stomachs and ample body fat, but the ferocity of bears is real. The risks they face are real. Their lives can be hard and their deaths can be painful. Mm. What a quote.
Yeah, no kidding.
The morning started peacefully, as they all do. Around 9 a.m. Alaska time, viewers on the Cats River View camera, one of eight positioned around the area, could see the last four bears in frame, one sitting on the shore while others fished in the gray water. Suddenly, two of the submerged bears, later identified as Patches and 402, began grappling, biting, and thrashing each other. 469 eventually took over. That's Patches, whose lifeless body sunk below the surface. Yikes. Patches began eating 402 and later dragged her out of the water.
See, maybe not enough salmon, so they got to eat each other, but that's another reason Patches might win.
By the time this comes out, the brackets may be out. So we have one, this is one People's Court question. We'll make our picks online later because we don't know who's playing each other. Right. Don't blame us, blame the murderer. Should Patches be banned from the competition for killing one of the
other contestants? No, I already picked him, Dan. No.
You get it? So, fair enough. 469 is fattened up on 402.
That's right.
Damn crazy. It's the most exciting bear, fat bear week ever. It used to be like cute, cuddly things. Now they're murdering each other. What the hell is going on up there?
Amazingly, we're talking about this the day after Pete Rose died, and Pete Rose was banned for life from the Baseball Hall of Fame for gambling. We're trying to decide whether we can put a murdering bear in a bracket, a fat bear bracket. You know what? This is what.
What are the odds Pete Rose gets in the Hall of Fame post? Yeah.
Six to five.
Yeah, they probably got odds out there for it. So that's what we think.
No, I think Patches can go in the bracket. Nature is nature, man. It's we cannot be putting human value judgments on what goes down in the fishing poles in Katmai Peninsula.
Yeah, for all we know, 402 asked
that's
for
true.
It.
Absolutely.
We don't know. We don't know the backstory. Why, you know, no guardrails. There are no guardrails in Fat Bear Week.
For sure.
Any means necessary. What are we doing? Yeah, I'm in favor. We'll see. 402 is in. So we will have our picks on Twitter at some point. We could not make it was out of our hands. Yeah. We would normally pick by now, but we will see and we will update as Fat Bear Week goes along. Hopefully that's the only murder.
True.
Imagine if they were squared up in the bracket against each other.
Goodness.
That would have been.
Now that would have been something. One killing the other to advance.
With millions of people voting and them unaware of it. That's the funny part.
There's no funny parts in this, that's Dan. There's a dead bear.
RIP 402. You were great. You were great. Just not strong enough. We'll be back Thursday with more. Who knows what'll happen? You didn't have all this on your bingo card. Talk to you later.